Before we have our Haiti presentation, I just wanted to share a little devotion. And I guess this doubles because we're obviously talking about our mission in Haiti. But we're closing in on mission conference, so we have missions on the mind. And I guess the verse that I always think of when I think of missions, just for me, it's Isaiah 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Isn't that a great verse? I thought of this verse when we were traveling in India, and when you travel from village, and it's Isaiah 9 2, when you travel from village to village, it is... What my memory is, it was dusk, okay? And there's not street lights like we have street lights in America where, you know, every 50 feet, you know, there's a light and the whole roadway is lit up and that sort of thing. It's not like they don't have lights in India. But they'll have a light here and a light there. And when you go through a village, yeah, my memory is it was dusk and I'm just looking across. And, of course, we've visiting churches and you know, different pastors and such and you know, meeting the folks. And these are the people... conceivably that they're reaching out to in their areas. And the point is you can look as you're passing by and scooting through the hinterland there, you can look down these little village streets and you see the people walking down the street and it's dark. And it's not like, you know, you see all the street lights like here in America and you walk down a nice sidewalk in the street. It's just a street and there's little houses and depending on the village itself. And they are literally walking in darkness. And there's a light here and there. And I just remember this moment. It just really moved me that this verse, Isaiah 9:2, literally came to life. These people were literally walking in darkness. Isaiah 59:9 says, listen to this. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. And folks, we're not talking about India. We're talking about the whole world. And we might see ourselves as a great nation and, you know, you know, we're better than all these other nations and that sort of thing. I'm sorry, we walk in the same darkness as everybody else. Just because we have facilities and physical lights doesn't mean that we ourselves aren't walking in any less darkness than anyone else. I think maybe possibly Americans are walking in a greater darkness because we have all the baubles, we have all the trinkets, we have all the things that make us think we have illumination. And that's a worse place to be in, isn't it? When you think you have, you go down the road, there's churches down, everyone are like, oh, we're a Christian nation, we've got Christianity. But half the people that say, we're a Christian nation, we have Christianity, they don't even know what Christianity is. I remember as a college guy working at my job in this retail outlet, and a lady came up to me, and it was just a different circumstance, and she said, are you a Christian? She asked me, are you a Christian? And I remember thinking to myself, well, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I literally thought this. And I just went down the line in my head and I said, well, of course, I'm a Christian. I didn't know what a Christian... It would have been probably 10 years at that point, maybe less, before I would actually be born again and get saved. I didn't know what being a Christian was. I was walking in darkness. It says here, we wait for light, but behold obscurity. But see, it's not all just about darkness because there is light in the world. God has not left us hopeless. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation. So this is sort of the middle position of there is light out there, but people, they don't want the light. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, get the picture here. Some people are walking in darkness, have no access to light. Some people, they see the light afar off and go, don't want it. and then they go back to their darkness. You see here? And so this is really happening all around us. John 1:9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." The context of John chapter 1 is Jesus. He is this light. John chapter 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." See, this is what's we're trying to do in Haiti. So the Laguerres is their burden for the people of Haiti. We've talked about this, and I'm not going to embarrass the Laguerres. You can't embarrass the Laguerres anyway. They are a hardy folk. But their retirement age, they should be sitting at home eating spaghetti with their feet up. But what are they doing? They've risked it all. They're putting everything. You're going to see pictures of their garage. You haven't seen anything till you've seen their garage. Their garage is not a garage. They have dedicated their life to this light and getting this light out to other people. And Haiti's a great example of this because they have a form of religion that's there. Catholicism is very popular in Haiti. And that is a form of religion. But when you go into it and you look at what's being preached in these churches in Haiti, it's, you know, is it the gospel? Well, arguably, probably no. He says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." And then John chapter 9, the next chapter, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." John chapter 12, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." To abide in darkness means you don't have the information. But see, sometimes we reject the information. Sometimes we just don't have it. I'm looking at a group of what we say here. We are believers, okay? And we have received the gospel. We are believing. But for those of us as believers, we can look back and say, well, there was a time I didn't have the truth. Yeah, but it was presented to you and then you received it. Yes, I did. Okay, so that may be the testimony of us here, but there's a lot of people who run away from that light and they still walk in darkness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world." So now He is the light of the world. Now you're the light of the world. So how does this work? You know, one of my favorite analogies on this is the moon and the sun. Because in the creation story, they're called the two great lights of the sky, is how God refers to them. There are two great lights. So the moon is called a light. Is the moon a light? Well, not really. It's a big ball of dirt is what it is. But you know that the moon reflects the light of the what? The sun. And you and I, and it's just an analogy, and it's a fun analogy, but I really like it. We're like the moon. And we reflect the light of the world, don't we? He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And that's what your testimony means. You, as a person, reflect the light of the Savior. He is the true light. But He wants you to be a light as well. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." So there is an active blinding that's happening right now. This is the war. And the war isn't, we're pawns in this war. But the war is against God versus Satan. And it's very mismatched, by the way. God is managing this. That's a whole other message. He says, "The God of this world is blind to the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ," who is the image of God, "should shine upon them." So there is an active force in the world trying to snuff out the light. And Christian, we can't let it happen to us. You can't make it not happen all across the world. All we can do is affect our little corner of the world, right? So we have to let our light shine. We have to make sure our light's not being obscured. That's why we go to Haiti, but that's not good enough. We're going to Chile, that's not good enough. We're going to India, that's not good enough. We're going to the four corners of the world. Did y'all see our mission board out here in the foyer? It's been renewed, so if you haven't looked at the mission board, take a look at it, because we sort of, and there was a group effort. A lot of people put hand to plow there, and Dwayne Roberts moved the board. Kathy got new mats for the, and we did scans and all. So it's great. So look at those missionaries that you support. And I was blown away as I was hanging them up. And we have groups of missionaries from Japan. We have groups of missionaries to the Jews. We have groups of missionaries to India, China. It's wonderful. They're going all over the world. And this is just our little corner. There are churches that support so many more missionaries. It is wonderful, isn't it? This is the task. And it has to happen. We can't allow the God of this world to snuff out this light. And Paul says finally in Philippians chapter 2, we do all this that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. A light shines, you know, in darkness. And so when we talk about missions, we talk about a message that we carry, and we talk about a light that we shine. And you say, Pastor Farley, where, how can I do it? Well, you know, that's your ministry. God has a ministry. He has a gifting for each one of you, and He has a ministry for each one of you. Each one of us is to shine this light for this purpose. And tonight and right now, we're going to look at the Laguerres and the light that the Lord has given them light and has burdened them with this mission for Haiti. And we're going to look at that at this time. If we could go ahead and get the PowerPoint ready. I'm going to guide us through this. The Laguerres are down here. Brother Franco, I'm going to give you a microphone. I think I still have... Oh, yeah, mine's turned on. So Brother Frankel is going to be available for questions. But Brother Frankel, as I present and talk about this, and you're welcome to sit up here or sit down there, however you like, but I'm going to go through and talk it. And if you say, Pastor Farley, you're missing something, just interrupt me and we'll go through that. This opening slide, Frankel and Jackie Laguerre, missionaries to Haiti. I want you to see the next slide here, because we have their official photo of our missionaries. Brother Gail, why don't you switch me to the podium, please? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, if we could switch that one out, that would be great. This is for the purpose of seeing where Haiti is. Some of us are geographically challenged, I know. And Haiti is on the western side of the island of, it's called Hispaniola. And you hear about this island often when there are hurricanes coming, because hurricanes drive usually right by these island groupings. To the left there is Cuba, to the right is Puerto Rico. The Haiti shares Hispaniola with the Dominican Republic, right there. And so that's where the location of Haiti is. Zooming in, we see the nation. It's got these very prominent areas out to the north and the south. On the peninsula of the south, you see there where it says Morisseau. That's the Laguerre's city of Morisseau. Right here, Port-au-Prince, this is the capital of Haiti. And normally when you hear about things that are happening, whether it be trouble or otherwise, a lot of times it's centered in Port-au-Prince, because that's the seat of government. Haiti was a French colony, so it's their government set up similarly to France. Paris is the seat of government for all of... So all the administration of all the areas of France is in Paris. And Haiti works very similarly. So everything is run out of Port-au-Prince. Just for comparison, see up here, Port-au-Paix. This is where Benji Dryden ministers, our missionary to Haiti out of Port-au-Paix. And then this is where the Laguerres are down here at Morisseau. So typically, they would fly into Port-au-Prince and used to be would drive this way down the National Highway to get to Moroso. Lately, we've been flying. Where is the city? Right here? Right down here? We'd take a short flight down to here and then drive over because it's safer, because all the gang activity is right in this area. The gangs in Haiti, it's not front page news, but if you Google Haiti and then look at, scan by news, the gangs are running the nation. The central government is basically in a state of failure, and the prime minister was assassinated. The president was assassinated, within the last year or so?
Last year, in July.
So he was assassinated, of course, and then the trouble began or continued, and the gangs are pretty much running the country. So it's very dangerous to travel in this area. Haiti is a very colorful country. It reminds me, frankly, a lot of India. Very colorful as you go through. This is Port-au-Prince. And everything, this is a bus, and there's things called tap-taps, and they're public, it's public transportation. And the idea is they stop, you jump on, you tap, and they're like, okay, he's in, so they take off. And in the Philippines, it's called a jeepney. In Haiti, it's called a tap-tap. And then you pay a little bit, and people are jumping on, jumping off all the time. And it's really fascinating. You see a lot of, in Port-au-Prince, a lot of people selling things. This is an entrepreneurial dreamland. We saw one time, and it was just so fascinating. I've told you this before. I'd never forgot it. It was on the same trip. Some guys had like 5 Xerox machines on the street. And you walk up, pay them money, and they run you a Xerox copy. They had like power cables running out to their Xerox machines. And so they're all selling all kinds of stuff. This is the Haitian market in Moroso. So this is Port-au-Prince. Now you've come into Moroso. The mayor, who we have a fine relationship with, he's recently put these paved cement roads in there. And so the Haitian market is sort of the center of the culture there in Moroso. And it happens, what, every Wednesday?
Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes. And you're going to see in a minute, in just a little while, Pastor Farringer did a lot of evangelism focused in the Haitian market, because that's where everybody is. And that was really great. Just some more pictures of the beauty of Moroso is a really beautiful village. It reminds me of, I don't know if you see The Hobbit, and those movies, The Hobbit, and they talk about the Shire, where all the hobbits live in the Shire. It really is that beautiful. And you go down these little roads, and you go around, and everyone has their little cottage in different places. It's really nice. And this is a Fritz right here going on a hike with Pastor Farringer one day. Beautiful mountains and scenery and valleys. It just really is stunning. This is a picture from the Laguerre's front porch. This is my coffee drinking picture in the morning. We wake up when we're doing missions is hard. It's really, really difficult. And you go there, and Jackie's making breakfast, and Frankel and I are out on the front porch doing our devotion, and there's other folks, and it's great. And that's a beautiful picture. This is the reverse picture of their house. This is Jackie's historical home, I guess you would say. Her mother owned this home.
Yes.
Would you say you grew up in this home, Jackie? Or? Yeah.
She was born there. She grew up in Asavo, my city.
Right. You grew up. Jackie grew up in another city, Asavo, which is near the coast. But she was. I didn't remember that. You were born in this house.
Yes.
So this is the homestead.
Yes.
Her brother owns a house down the hill from here, so the family is around. And this is a brand new road that was put in coming right up to the house. The roads in more so in the backcountry, very difficult. I'm telling you, the roughest roads I've literally ever experienced in my entire life. They have highways, but when you go back into the villages, you have to have a four-wheel drive. And to walk up that hill, I mean, when Pastor Stewart and I went the first time, Frankel said, "Bring your sneakers," because you literally hike everywhere. This is Frankel. He goes to the Haitian market. I am not exaggerating. This man knows everyone in Morisot. And I love watching him. It's, "Hey, how are you doing?" No, 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 no. Just talking to everybody. I call Frankel the mayor of Morisot. He's not actually the mayor, but he could run for mayor and win. He was a school teacher, and half the people, when I say, "Who is that, Brother Frankel?" And he says, "Oh, I taught him in class." And, you know, and so a lot of people, they know from their former school career in public education. And so Frankel is glad-handing and shaking hands, and everybody knows who Brother Frankel is. He's the Christian. He's the guy associated with Morisot Baptist Church. And so just shaking hands is a testimony. You don't know it. Many of you do, but many of you probably don't. Frankel and Jackie are preparing to travel literally all year. And this is their garage. It is a cornucopia of supplies. I would say probably 85-90% of what you see in that picture is going to Haiti. These barrels, you see a lot of food preparation. It's food that they will ship down for themselves that they use down there that you can't get at different markets. These are bales that you'll see in a minute, but these are bales of clothing that are baled together. And so they're collecting shoes and collecting supplies to ship down to Haiti. This is a all-year-long exercise. And there's a barrel that things will go into the barrel. We had a picture of Jeremiah Singh in the barrel, I think. speaking of Singh, this is Kamesh Singh. You'll notice on the back of Kamesh's truck, Kamesh was helping Frankel and Jackie this time with the preparations for the latest shipment. You'll see one of the bales right here because Brother Kamesh was helping them take some of what they had in the house and take it to this facility. That's, I believe, Kamesh, that's you. Isn't that you? Kamesh actually working. So look, his hand is touching the bag. So we see him actually working. You cannot. It is true. This is a processing plant. And what they do is they process things. And then they take it and they code it and put tags on it. And they prepare it to ship. It's fascinating, this work. This is a press machine. This is the baler. And so this man is taking the clothes. This is a bag full of clothes, right? And he's got this machine. And see, right here, this blue thing, you can't really tell from here, but it's metal, and it's got four metal walls, okay? So it's got metal walls. And he's taking the clothing, and he's dumping it into this metal box, okay? Then he swings the metal box over, and see, the press presses the clothes down and just, you know, and squooshes them, right? Forget the vacuum, you know, you have the vacuum clothes, and forget all that. This is the real thing. Then he takes these metal straps, and he straps them. Well, first he wraps them in plastic, then he straps them, and that's the bale. This isn't all Frankel and Jackie, we have to say, but this is a lot of people that are sending clothing down to Haiti. We have to remember that there has been a series of natural disasters in Haiti. The occasion of one of the first ones is sort of where we sort of entered into this mission with the Laguerres. In 2010, they had a magnitude 7 earthquake. Very mountainous country in both peninsulas in Haiti. Then in 2016, Hurricane Matthew crossed right over the southern peninsula, and that caused a lot of devastation. In August 2021, there was a magnitude 7. Notice, Morisot is right here. There was the epicenter, right just north of Morisot. And there was, you know, these are some pictures from the area, just devastation. These houses are made out of wood with tin roofs, but the stone is built in between the wood posts there. And so this brick house just crumbled. And the roof stands, but the brick crumbles out because that's just part of how they, you know, do the construction there. And so some of these houses either just the brick fell out or crumbled in total. This is actually a funerary monument. This is Franklin Jackie's home. This was that latest earthquake, a crack right down the corner. This home has been there for a while, and so it suffered some substantial damage. All of that has been repaired as to now, so that everything's in good shape. This is some of the damage. Now, they've been since the early days that we joined in with the mission. There was a lot of construction happening at the school. But unfortunately, when the earthquake took place, a lot of that fell down. This is the principal's office at the school. This hallway goes down on the backside. Down, if you were to zoom out looking at this, okay, to the right is like a cliff that goes down into a little bit of a valley. Not too far, but it goes into a valley. So there was actually some fair amount of damage to this side of the building because of the valley, that's the ground moving on the side there. Through the ministry there in Moroso, there were supplies handed out, tarps and blankets and such, because of, you know, you lose your roof, you need a tarp, and so people were needing things, and the Laguerres were helping to supply some of those things, including rice and other supplies, all being handed out. And listen, God gets the glory for it. They know where it's coming from. They know where to get these things, and they're getting it from the church. The church is truly a center of the community there. 2017 was our first outreach. Some of you will remember this. You made what's called, what was it, pillowcase dresses?
Pillowcase dresses.
Yes, and so some of you remember that, made these little pillowcase dresses for little girls. And so these are the little girls wearing their pillowcase dresses. And the neat thing is when they get them, they're so proud and so happy for their pillowcase dresses. And so, again, it's a small thing, but it's always like this. To what you is small, to the recipient is a huge blessing. You know, I think of the Christmas boxes is the same way. You pack a Christmas box and you're like, Christmas box. You send it to a child. It's everything to them. And so this was huge. And then the beginning of the next year was our first trip down there. Now I want you to notice, this is the church, this is the front door. We'll see other pictures, but I want you to just get this. This is the front of the church building, the very front. Now just remember what it looks like. And so this was not that long after. Really, the total, was it a hurricane, was the devastation of the prior building? Hurricane Matthew. Yes. And I don't think we have photos of it. It decimated their former building. And the Laguerres were helping with some other individuals that were providing to rebuild the church and the school. And by the time we got down there, the construction was well underway, but very much not complete. You notice there's no windows, there's no doors. But they turned to us, and it was in this meeting, they said, Pastor Farley, Pastor Stewart, we get supplies from America, because there's a lot of mission agencies and, you know, so they come down and provide things. We get physical supplies, but we don't get spiritual provision. We need you to come teach us. And that's what this meeting was about. They were talking about, well, What do you do? How is it? And so we taught, Pastor Stewart taught a little mini class, and I taught a mini class, and it was just, this is kind of what we do. And they loved it. They're like, come and do this like a regular module. This is sort of the format, the same format that we use in India, teaching the modules in the school, in the Bible college. The schedule is very different because of the individual needs But this was this meeting to really begin a teaching ministry at the church. That's the former pastor of the church right there, and that's one of the deacons. Here's the front of the church. You're going to see in later pictures a wall that is now there in the front. There's another building built here, but this is a very early picture here. If you were to peer inside the building here, the floor was rocks, rock floor. And you would, you know, walk in like this. There was no flat floor. There it is right there. Just rocks on the floor because they build it. And they're like, we have to take... There's no occupancy. Like, there's no, like, the state of, like, or the county saying, well, you need an occupant. No, forget occupancy. It's like, we got a roof. We're coming in. And then the building continues from there. The children were meeting in that same condition. These are the rocky floor, and the classes are going on. How many? To what grade does it go up again, Frankel?
Sixth grade.
To sixth grade, and through the mission, all of the teachers are paid.
All of it.
Through the mission, and so all of this is provided through what the mission is doing. And there's one of the teachers right there. See that little boy right there? He was so cute. He was falling asleep while we were there, and he was just sitting in his chair, I thought he was going to fall out of his chair. He was really cute. This is like the kindergarten class. That's the teacher. And notice the rocky floor. That was their floors. When we came back, we started talking about what we can do to help. And one of the first things we did was we sent funds down to have the floors done.
Yes, Open Doors sent $4,000 to the floor.
And so through the gift from the church, from our Faith Promise account, you notice the rocks, now it's a floor. And we did the floors in the church, we did the floors all throughout the school. And so now everywhere you see, they're a little rough, but the floors are there. And where they're at the moment is they're about to tile them because of the other funds that have been provided by Open Door here. They're about to do some tiling, so the floor is going to be finished. But it's a far cry from what it used to be. You see Jackie here working in some of the little kindergarten class. Through that same effort with the cement work, this was all a big rock pit. You know, you just stumble down the rocks. But after some of the efforts there, you notice the metal doors and the metal windows. Not unusual for their architecture. Very similar in India, some of the metal, not necessarily with screened windows. These windows are open for airflow and that sort of thing. So this is a very pretty recent, probably 3 to 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Yeah. This is a church service that they're having a song time. There was built, I've showed you these before. This was the building of the prophet's chamber. This is the back of Frankel and Jackie's home. And through discussions with Pastor Stewart and others and provisions from the church, they were able to build this prophet's chamber on the back. And so now, when we go as teachers or other groups have gone too, they're able to stay. There are actually two rooms built in the back here and stay in a very nice room on our travels there. And so that's the building of it. Look, it's just really great condition, really very nice place to stay. Bible Institute classes. This is, we saw the other end of this building. The principal's office is on that far end of the building. So this is the down the hallway. These are the school classrooms, right? So we use a school classroom as our Bible Institute classroom. You see everybody smiling there. Frankel is the interpreter. We will teach, obviously, in English. Frankel will translate in Haitian Creole. In Haiti, in schools, French oftentimes is the language in schools. Is that correct, Frankel?
Yes, that's the language in school, but you teach in Creole.
Right, because that's what they speak in. But our curriculum is actually in French.
French, yes.
Yes. So the curriculum book that they have is French, but it's taught in Haitian Creole. Because Haitian Creole is a derivative of French. And so that's me on the end, and these are the men, and we're going through the notes and such. That, I think, was pastoral theology. This is us finishing because there's no lights in this building at this particular moment, and I don't think there are still lights in there.
No light.
No light. You go till the light's done.
But we've got solar lamp.
Yes. Yeah, these are lamps, and the men are super patient. They're like, okay, well, I guess we're done now because we have no light, and everyone has their phones and such. This is the pastor. We're closing in prayer. This is at the end of the class, and it's just great. And folks, listen. People always say, oh, we're blessed in America to have these lights, and look, they're LED lights, and we're so blessed in America. I tell you this, and I'll say it again, is that, yes, we can say we're blessed in America, but the thing that impresses me is Christians living with these in these types of conditions, they're happy people.
They are always very happy.
They're okay. We look, oh, it must be terrible, it must be horrible. And they say, what do you mean? This is how we live. This is every day. And so, you know, think of it that way. When you sort of flip the idea on your head, you start to think to yourself, maybe I have too much. Maybe I don't need all the stuff that I have. We could talk about U-Haul storage places that are, you know, all over the place, but that's a different sermon. So you're looking at people that aren't inconvenienced whatsoever. They're just following the Lord. Amen. This is another class, just the studying, maybe preparing for the test time because it's sort of a cram moment possibly, or just it might be just in between translation. This is one of my classes. Who, Frankel, the man in the red shirt, can you tell me?
That's Solner.
Solner.
Yes, he just got married.
And he is going to be in the ministry?
Oh, yes, he's a pastor now.
Yes. He was a school teacher, now a pastor. And so you're looking at individuals who are actually going into the ministry, being trained through this mission. There's Pastor Jeff there. With another class, and you see all the guys. There's Pastor Stewart here, and what we had done during this season, it was January, February, March was sort of our season to be there. And because of the unrest, it's really literally made it impossible for us to go at this moment. So this was sort of the season. One would go one month, one would go the next, and the following. Classes taught since 2018. Quite a roster of classes that we were able to get accomplished. I think there was. I think we might be missing one class.
One or two.
That have been taught. But this is a whole lot. Look at bibliology. Study the Bible. I mean, they're getting good information, and they have their printed notes. So when they walk away from class, they have a reference book that they can go back to. So this is the starting of a pastoral library here. Pastor Farringer, because he's the overachiever in the family, he had these certificates made for the when they completed the module for the month that they were there. He had these a little ceremony and handed out certificates, which is a good. This is part of the process. Growth and progress. There has been so much. There's been so much in such a little time because God has really been blessing, and the Glagares don't give up. The classrooms are just growing, and the children are receiving. They're handing up. You know, they've received in the last couple of years uniforms, supplies, school supplies. These are some notebooks, I believe, that they've have received. This was their reception of some embroidered school uniforms that they had received. They received these desks that, again, just filling out some of the things that we take for granted. You go down to Office Depot, you buy a desk. Well, they have to have their desks physically made. There's a man, his name is Bosmafor, and he is a carpenter,
yes.
Like a real carpenter. Like, it's like, we need a bed. Okay. He built a bed. And there it is. Pastor Stewart was there, and they found this beautiful tree, a certain type of tree. And long story short, there was a guy on the top and a guy on the bottom that had a long saw, and they went down the length of the tree, and they were sawing out wood planks from the, what kind of wood was it?
They called this tree acacia. Very, very durable.
Very durable, you know, what we might think of like mahogany or something. So it was a really nice
almost
type of wood.
Almost like that, yeah. Yes.
And so they were cutting planks out of this. I mean, the guys, like one, just by hand. And Pastor Stewart said when they got done, it was straight. And you just, I don't know. And we're losing this craft. But they got it there, and they're just building the stuff. They build it by hand, and it's wonderful. So school desks for the school children. Again, this is through the Laguerre's mission that they are working. Now, we see a lot for the school here, but if you talk to the Laguerre's, what you see is their focus, their focal point is really the church. But the school goes along with it, so the two are connected. This is neat. This was exciting. This is a, if you flip this over, it's got a little solar panel on it. This is like a solar audio Bible. And you press the button, and it will play the Bible. And then it's got Genesis 1:1. And then you hit plus, and it's Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 4. The whole Bible is on this thing. And if you go over to the Laguerre's house and you surprise them, and you knock on the door and rush in the house, Jackie has hers plugged in, just running. And they're listening to it. Sort of the way I listen to Alexander Scorby all the time, you know, on my iPod or whatever. So these audio Bibles are excellent because there's a number of people in Haiti who are illiterate, they cannot read. And so we have access to these in Haitian Creole, French, and in English. And so we provide whichever one the person needs. Brother Frankel, were you about to say something? Or?
Yeah, very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Because you see, they are in Creole. And most Haitians speak Creole. They don't speak French or English, but that's Creole. Creole is the mother tongue.
And so what we were, I was listening to it at their house, and I said, so how's the Creole? How's the Creole? And Frankel's like, that's good Creole.
Yes, very good Creole. I was very surprised when I received them from Pastor Furley.
It's a spoken word of God ministry that we were knowledgeable of through Tabernacle Baptist Church in Orlando. And they've been around for a long time. So that's a huge blessing. And we
really
will.
Blessing. I wish that we can have about 50 of them.
Amen. Oh, we're going to get more. We're going to get more and bring them down. These are some groups, supplies for them. Choir robes is culturally relevant for them. So that's the choir and the church. This is a men's group. There's Fritzman right there. He's awesome. He's one of the deacons. And the men going about doing their thing. And there's also a young ladies singing group. So these would be different choir groups that the church sponsors. And I think they were going around to different places in the village there. This is the completion of, we showed this to you before, the completion of some of the pastoral offices there in the church. So the tile has been set, the facilities are there, and again, very necessary, and it's part of finishing out the church building itself. Open Door did that.
Yes,
supplied directly from the church. Here's Pastor Farringer doing the three-door unit. This is during the Haitian market. This is in conjunction with the evangelism class he was teaching, so he was teaching them how to present the gospel folks in the church, and they had certain responsibilities that they had. But that three-door unit's still down there. And they take it out to the Haitian market, I guess.
They still use it.
What's that, sir?
They use it very well.
Yeah.
I think you got a slide from a revival. They use it.
Mm-hmm. So they use it periodically down the Haitian market?
Right. That was a goal for Pastor Fine, to leave it to them so they can use it.
Yes, absolutely. So it's there. There have been John and Romans little pamphlets that are in Haitian Creole. So there's tracts in Creole. So we've been giving a lot of literature as well there for them. And you see there's Martin. That's Jackie trying to be cool with her hat there. And you can see a better view here of the Haitian market down the street. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to evangelize that's always present. This is the new pastor of the church. That other pastor, he moved on to another church, and this pastor is sort of a denomination, like an independent Baptist denomination, sort of, I don't know, it's a mission that has been there for since the 20s or something. And so they moved their pastors around. This new pastor came in and is very, very effective. And they're having these a whole series of baptisms that they completed right there in the river. And this is the baptism. All these folks got baptized. And it's always, just as it is with us, it's an encouragement to the church when a number of people get baptized. This, I love this idea. I saw this picture. I didn't know what this was. I think this is awesome. This is the church, and they're having church in the middle of the street. You know how the occupiers will go out and block traffic, you know, with their liberal rants and all this kind of stuff? Well, here's the Christians doing the very same thing. I think that's great. Let's go to 27 and have church in the middle of the road. So they're having church. This is the music guys right here, and they're big speakers. I believe that's the pastor sitting there. And it's one of the teen group. They're getting ready to sing. This is like a drone shot of their meeting in the street. Sort of an outreach to the community. Just wonderful. It's like, oh, these Christians in the middle of the street. So they are reaching out to the community. This is Pastor Farringer on one of his trips. This was a youth meeting, I believe.
Youth meeting, yes.
With the teenagers. This was very recent. This was a flag day, flag day. Then that's the Haitian flag they're all holding up there. So that's a lot of fun for the students. New school principal and pastor. That's the new principal of the school. His name is Fritz, and he also doubles sort of as the guy who helps the Laguerres out at their homestead. So he watches after things, and he's very handy. The church provided this motorcycle for him. So we, through the faith promise giving and some of the gifts that were given to the mission, were able to buy his motorcycle.
Yes.
Without a motorcycle, you're dead in the water.
No, you cannot do nothing.
You can't do anything.
They used to use a mule or horse, but there is no mule, no horse. They use the motorcycle.
Frankel was telling me stories of the old days when he would ride a mule up...
to Osavo to Morso,
which that's a hike. Can you see Frankel riding a mule? And the reason you ride a mule, it's actually necessary because mules are very sure-footed animals. And when they're climbing up the mountain, you know, you can ride that mule and it's no problem.
When I was coaching Jackie, when she went on vacation in Morso, I am in Osavo, so I got to ride the mule to go to see it.
To go to see Jackie?
Yeah.
Jackie said he wasn't like this, he was slim. So, that's just the way it is. And you know what? You make do, and this is what life is like. You need mules, and there's still mules. I don't know that I included some of the pictures, but when we first went down to the Haitian market, I just thought it was so neat. At the end of the Haitian market, no kidding, is the mule parking. And all the mules are parked at the end there. And I'm like, this is the mule parking lot. Yeah. So I guess you say, hey, mule, come here. And they just, whatever. So this is the new pastor here on the right. And that's Fritz that we just saw there. And they're right there in the church, on the church property. That's a desk that was provided. In the same way, all these other things are provided. Again, we just run down to Office Depot and get them. Doesn't work that way in Haiti. So everything we give, they're able to make plans for it, bring it in from Fontenegue or some other place where they have to either build it or bring it in. We have some continuing building projects. The church was able to give a fairly significant sum a couple years ago. And that sum is still, Brother Darrell will report, we keep that in the last quarterly report that we have. Brother Darrell, what do we call it, the Fund for Haiti?
It's mission project.
We call it the mission project, and it has its own line item. And so you see we're keeping track of how much is still present in that mission project. We support the Laguerres, and their support is separate, and they're able to buy their, plane tickets and such things to go down there, and that's typically what their support is for. But this mission project fund will fund a lot of the things that we're looking at here. One of the things is, now see the front of the church? It's got this portico now. This is this has been a while ago. About 3 years ago? Wow. And you see a wall here being started to being built. This is the road right in front. And, you know, people drive the way people drive. And so because there's a school here and kids are running back and forth from the school, this is that hallway that you saw. So there are kids running back and forth here all the time. You want a wall to protect people, and it's just a normal thing to have. So the wall was part of a security effort to help the kids. This is the school building here on the right, church building on the left. That building in the distance is the pastor's, that's the parsonage. Down the end there, so it just runs in a row. This is now the completed wall. That's the parsonage you see on the other side. So the wall runs all the way down to the parsonage, right in front of the road there. Just a huge, huge blessing supplied from the gifts of this church. Now you see the front of the church building. I mean, it's really being decked out from what we've seen in previous pictures. They're doing all the cement work. Filling in the gaps and closing it. You see the windows have the grates on them. And this is a most recent photo. They're finishing all the cement work. I think they are now, Frankel, they are preparing to paint the church building.
Paint the building and to do the floor.
To paint the building and to do the floor, and that will come out of the same mission project fund that we have for Haiti. And when the time is coming for that to happen, then we'll transfer the funds down. They'll acquire the paint and the tile and such things, and that will continue. So in review, here's the front of the building in 2021. Notice a little tree was randomly growing out in front of the church there. And here's the front of the building now, 2023. So praise God, a lot of work has been done, and everyone notices it because everyone comes by this road, and everyone in the town sees it. I want you to notice this little building over to the left here. Didn't really mention much about it. This is a water purification building. It's over the well.
Yes, over the well.
There's a well and a water purification system in it. Here are the plans for it, and you see here the solar panel system on the top. A lot of stuff in Haiti is solar, because that's just the way it is. It's how you have to power things. We have a video here. Gail, can I just hit play for the video? So what we're seeing is inside this building, the water tanks, and there's a reverse osmosis system very similar to the one that we have in India, that is able to take the water straight out of the ground and purify it so it's drinkable. And so all of this is provided inside this building from the gifts and offerings from this church.
That's a huge blessing, because water is something very difficult in Haiti, mostly in Mauritius.
Yes, sir.
Drinking water.
What you see here, and what Franco is saying, is it's water is just it's a, well, we know this from John chapter 4. What is the Samaritan woman doing? She's going to the well on her daily trek to get this big pot of water. These children, see these yellow pots? They're going to the well, and mom and dad are saying, "Go get some water." And they get their daily water, and they take it back, and this is what they cook with and wash with, and this is the water for their home. And some homes, they'll have a container where you'll run your system, so they might pour it into the container. That's what the Laguerres do. They'll bring water in and pour it into the container. So it's, I'll sit there drinking my coffee on the front porch, and this guy with a motorcycle, he'll pull up, pour in the water, drive off. Pull back, pour in the water, drive off. And it's this process that keeps going. But you see it. This is a well. This is a well dug by probably some international agency that provided the ability to have a deep well dug to access water. But the water isn't clean in the way that we would need it clean, or in the way that they need it clean. So you see, look, it's just every day. You see them all the time, folks, getting water, as you might expect. And here's a close-up picture of the well. But here's the finished building. Now, this is a step out. Now you can see the whole front. The parsonage is over on this left side. The school building is over on the right. But you can see the priority that's been placed on the church building, the wall, and the water purification system. I want to point out something here, which is really exciting. See this little step right here and that little window? Correct me if I'm wrong, Frankel. People can come and get water at this window.
Yes, that's where they get the water.
So you can come to the church and get water. Amen? There's a church. I'm not picking on the Catholics or anything, but there's a Catholic church down the street. You go down the street and around the corner, and they'll sell you some water.
That's where we bought our water before we have this one.
The Baptist church is giving away water free. Frankel, I vote to have a nice salvation verse painted on the front of this building that says, "Come ye all that are heavy laden, I will give you rest, I will give you drink," and that sort of thing.
You will be involved with that sign.
We're going to have some kind of water verse there, right there. And so, praise God, this church will be known for free water.
It's just a huge blessing, Pastor. Huge blessing.
Amen.
Now our children, we have about 110 children, they will be able to drink water, pure water.
Yeah.
Before that, we got to go to the well and water at the well. We got to boil the water.
Now they can get well water for taking showers and get well water for washing things and you know for that for common things. But this is cooking water, drinking water.
But because of this well, this is of the water purification system, now we can drink this water.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And
thank you for your prayers and support. The work is continuing. We already mentioned the work of the painting, the work of the tiling, but the work that is closest to Frankel and Jackie's heart is the work of the school. And the really unfortunate thing is, with all the unrest, it makes it very difficult and, yay, even just downright dangerous. There's a lot of kidnappings that are happening, and these gangs, what they do is they'll kidnap, ask for ransom, and just this whole process takes place. And so it's very dangerous to travel down there right now. So you pray for Haiti. We wanted to at least give a little time if anyone had any questions about anything that we could answer at this time. Does anyone have any? We have some microphones available. Mrs. Neuschwanger has a question. You don't, but we'll give you one anyway.
Yes.
Have the repairs been made, and is it back to the way it was?
Everything has been done. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, it was vandalized, and Fritz actually came up upon the guys as they were stealing. They were trying to steal solar panels, and they had made a big pile of everything. They were about to carry it away. So the Lord was in the timing and everything. But yes, it's been restored, that vandalization. Yes. And the word gets out. It's like, don't mess with Frankel and Jackie. And so it filters out into the community. So, anyone else?
I've got a question. How many other churches are supporting the effort down there, the Laguerres?
My name is Frankel Laguerre for the newcomer. It's my beautiful wife, Jackie, for 57 years. We have a lot of people involved from the beginning. From the beginning, when we started the mission in 2011, we don't have support from Open Door, but we have support from brothers and sisters of Open Door, like Sister Carrie. She used to support us with the role. Many, many brothers and sisters used to support us.
So you had individuals that were giving gifts to support you, yeah.
And we have many other friends who used to support us. They are still supporting us So we don't have no needs for if we do routine, because we have people who can help us. What we need, that's for project, like to finish the church, finish the school, like the water purification system costs us $15,000. U.S., in Haiti, that's a lot of money. So not only we have individual support, and we have a, what do you call that, Yagi? We have a, not a company, but
is it the Vietnam Vietnam veterans?
Not Vietnam veterans, a POW. POW1 worldwide, who pay the teacher for us. That's why we can send $1,400 each month to pay the teacher and give food to the children, because we provide food every day to the children.
So this was this organization was one of the first organizations that were regularly supporting the Laguerres.
Yes.
And when we talk about, and what Franco is trying to delineate for us here, is that we don't support them traditionally the way you would see support for other missionaries. Like a missionary, you support them and their mission, and they derive all their income from that support. The Laguerres don't derive their income from the support that we support them with. They use the support, so to speak, that we give to them for their travel and some of their personal expenses to go down there. But all the other support is for the mission itself.
Yeah.
The POW group that they learned, that they were able to get through Terry. That group has been providing personally through that group the salaries of the teachers for a number of years.
They are strong supporters of the mission.
And there's another group, some other group that that gives.
Yeah, we got the support from a West Orange Baptist Church.
Right.
We've been involved for about the past 3 years. They had a lot.
So they have, that POW place supports the teachers. The other church has given project support just in the same way that we have. But one of the latest, most significant gifts that they received was through Open Door for a lot of these building projects. And so their focus is on the project-by-project basis to help the church. But again, we have to look at all these things as initiatives, because the biggest initiative that is needed at the moment is for us to go down there and teach. And that's just on hold just for safety purposes, but that will continue.
Have we ever really considered, though, branching out and asking other churches to help support, even in the teaching, like we have in India?
That's certainly a possibility, but there are also complexities, very much complexities, that would be too laborious to go into detail in this group. We have talked about it. We'd certainly be open to it. But given the window that we can work with and the complexities of travel and such, we've got the model that we're working with right now. But the Laguerres will take money from anybody. Let me just say it that way. So if you want to give, it goes in the project fund, and it's going to help, you know, everything that's happening here. Brother Nick, you had a question?
Maybe possibly putting rebar and stuff inside of the block to make sure that it will maintain underneath hard.
So Nick is asking about, if you didn't hear the beginning, it's what are the building sort of codes?
Yeah,
and
I just, you know,
quality
just,
of the contractors.
It's kind of, it's devastating whenever they put in all that effort and work and a natural disaster comes and just tears it down and we have to start all over again. I was just wondering, is it just a bunch of group of guys?
I do understand you, brother. In Haiti, they don't bother with building inspector, all the thing like that. They want to build something, they went to the city hall, and they asked permission. And if the plan, the mayor don't like the plan, they say, ah, no, you cannot build. this way. But you give something underneath, they say, okay, you're all right. So there is no big deal to be something in it. You got to know the people, that's it. And believe me, we know everybody.
It's just like America. You got some people who do a good job and some people that don't do a good job. And the people that don't do a good job cost less. People who do a good
only
job.
Only two women, that's the money. And the project will be done.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you all, we're going to have to wrap up the question time. If you have additional questions, Villegas, even for this mission conference, they're going to be on hand here. They will be happy to answer questions for you, field any questions, and be in prayer for Haiti. I would encourage you this. When you're looking at your news website, go Google Haiti news and go look at the news yourself. Go, you see, because it's not really headline because they're not featuring it. You have to look for it, but it's out there. And you can see the videos. You can see the reports. They're reporting on what's happening. And it is fairly devastating. The Drydens were just about to go down to Haiti, and I think he canceled his trip.
2 days ago.
2 days, yeah.
He's getting wet.
So the Drydens they're a second generation Haiti missionaries from Port-au-Prince. And, you know, we're talking about the Laguerres are not there right now because of this. The Drydens have canceled their trip. So there are serious things happening in the hinterlands there of Haiti. So you be in prayer for that country and be in prayer for Morisseau Baptist Church.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. And thank you for your love.
Amen. Amen.